From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, are they trying to reduce the world's population by affecting the food we eat? Dr. Ted Brouwer joins us. Stand by for that. Here's what's happening. Pulsating light bursts into the cockpit of a plane thousands of feet in the air, filling it with brightness and blinding the pilot and the co-pilot. Now, what sounds like a reenactment of a UFO reality show has now become everyday reality in the United States. Laser attacks on aircraft occur an average of 11 times a day, according to the FAA. Powerful handheld lasers are affordable, widespread, and some people are making sport of shining them into the passing aircraft. The trend seems to be catching on. There were nearly 4,000 such strikes reported last year. That's up from 283 in 2005. And the FBI wants to stop them, offering reward money now for tips leading to the pranksters. For the next 2 months, 11 U.S. cities and San Juan, Puerto Rico are offering up to $10,000 for information leading to the arrest. The attacks are particularly common in New York and Los Angeles, and they have often obstructed the work of pilots. Dangerous situation there. Well, Homeland Security is seeking the next generation of body imagers that will have the ability to scan through heavy coats and shoes and not require agents to monitor video screens. A market research study released by the agency notes that the flyers should not have to stop and wait at security points, but should be able to walk straight through. The document notes that the machines should have the capability to detect concealed explosives, homemade bombs, shrapnel, small handguns, knives, but you may not have to take off your shoes. Bitcoin is being hit by attacks from unknown computer hackers who are sending mutated lines of code into the program that runs the virtual currency. The attacks are responsible for problems experienced by two Bitcoin exchanges that caused them to temporarily halt withdrawals by customers who stored bitcoins in digital wallets provided by the exchanges. And that, of course, saw bitcoins plummet in price. David Seaman is an expert on bitcoins. David, what's the price now and what's the latest?
Hi, George. Thanks for continuing to cover this.
Sure.
Yeah, it's been pretty interesting. Mt. Gox is a Bitcoin exchange in Japan, and they were actually the first Bitcoin exchange to come online. And they started off, strangely enough, as a website that primarily dealt in trading playing cards. So Bitcoin sort of hit them by accident and became their bread and butter after a certain point. And this mutated transaction thing that happened to them, it's a little complicated, but the best analogy for it that I've heard so far is to say that it's pretty much like if a company accepting checks from customers for some reason was to just trust that all those checks would go through. Well, some checks turn out to be rubber checks, and if a friend gives you a small check, you can probably trust that as money in the bank. But if you're just getting large checks from random people all over the world, you can't treat that as real money until it's actually fully cleared. And this exchange was treating unconfirmed transactions as confirmed in some cases, allowing attackers to mutate the transaction data and sort of spoof the system.
Who are the hackers? Could they be people who simply just don't want bitcoins to be used as currency?
Yes. This is highly speculative at this point, but the experts on this believe that it was either a sole attacker or a group of people. But one thing they seem fairly confident of is that it's not state-sponsored. So it's not the U.S. government or the Chinese government.
Okay.
And of course, who knows? But I think the level of sophistication is low enough that they're able to determine this is probably just somebody out there who has some computer skills and really does not want to see Bitcoin take off. And ultimately, I don't think this is going to have much of an impact because it's kind of perverse, but the more Bitcoin is covered in the media, the more people read about it and get interested in it. And over time, that actually increases the market cap of the whole currency.
What's it selling for right now, David?
When I checked earlier this evening, it was at around 650, and it's been stable there for around the last 8 to 10 hours, the 650 to 670 range. It's been fluctuating a bit, but certainly much lower than it was last week. And it's a wide range of opinion as to where it goes from here. but it doesn't seem like Bitcoin is in danger of being, attacked beyond the point of repair. In fact, this is specific to that exchange, and other exchanges shut down temporarily their withdrawals just to make sure that they're not vulnerable to the same kind of manipulation.
All right. Thank you, David. I was reading a story where a guy in Europe bought $27 in Bitcoins back in 2009, put them away, forgot all about them, realized he had them up until the crash year. They were worth $800,000. In St. Louis, the city councilor there, Michael Garvin, has announced that the city will appeal a judge's ruling that invalidates the city's red light camera ordinance. What happened was a circuit judge wrote an order that the city must stop trying to enforce the ordinance, sending violation notices, processing payments, or sending collection letters relating to the red light tickets. A lot of cities all around the country are beginning to say, you know what, maybe this isn't going to work. And the courts have been agreeing with citizens who say, hey, look, I'm not going to pay this ticket. How do you know I was in the car? Toyota recalling 2.1 million of its Prius, RAV4, Tacoma, Lexus vehicles globally because of a software problem that could cause cars to stop suddenly. Don't panic, but you'll get a notice if your car's part of that. Horrible situation in the southeast, on its way to the east. Get off the roads, stay off. That's the message in Georgia and the Carolinas as a snow and ice storm swept through Wednesday, bringing some of the southeast's most populous cities to a simple standstill. The warning came as freezing rain brought heavy ice accumulations from Atlanta to Charlotte, plus a large part of the South, hundreds of thousands of people without power, thousands of flights canceled. Also in the storm's path, Virginia, Washington, they expect a foot of snow in New York. Robert Felix, author of Not by Fire, But by Ice. I think you're right. We might be in a mini ice age here, Robert.
I'm afraid that's where we're headed, George. It is just incredible. I feel so sorry for the people there. Like you said, 12 inches we're aiming for in North Carolina, 10 to 14 inches in Virginia, 6 to 9 inches or maybe more in Washington, D.C., Philadelphia looking at 8 inches, New York City. I mean, in New England, some meteorologists are saying we're looking at feet of snow, and I don't know how many feet that is, but it's just... Just 2 weeks ago, Atlanta was slammed, and thousands of people stuck in their cars overnight. And now it looks like Raleigh, North Carolina, did not learn from Atlanta's debacle. And now traffic is stopped, is my understanding, in Raleigh as they're trying to cope with the same thing.
And, Robert, you're looking at the sun. It's got huge sunspots there. I wonder if that has anything to do with this.
Oh, I think the sun, not the huge sunspots. I think that what we're looking at, for people who haven't heard of this, is that we're looking at what's called a Dalton minimum or perhaps a Maunder minimum. And that was a time, and the Maunder minimum was a time in the 1600s when sunspots almost disappeared for a period of about 50 years. And we had what's called a little ice age. Well, right now, sunspots are at the lowest level that they have been in over 100 years, and many, many astrophysicists are saying this is indeed, we're headed into a new little ice age, at the very least.
I think you're right. Robert's website, by the way, trace it on our Twitter feed at coasttocoastam.com. What a situation in Kentucky. They've got what is called Kentucky's National Corvette Museum. Very gorgeous Corvettes, old ones, new ones, worth millions of dollars. Sinkholes swallowed up 8 of them. Just gobbled them right up, 40 foot wide, 20 foot deep sinkhole, swallowed them all up, causing millions of dollars in damages of the Corvettes. China's lunar rover, it's called Jade Rabbit. It's been declared dead on the surface of the moon. It landed there on December 15th. It was the first successful soft landing on the moon since 1976. It suffered serious mechanical problems. It cannot be restored. O.J. Simpson is on a hunger strike in prison. He wants to die. He's 66 years old. He's serving kidnapping, assault, and robbery charges and sentence, and he is eligible for parole in 3 years, but they say he's very, very depressed. U.S. comedian Sid Caesar, one of the best, has died at the age of 91. He was a star of the golden age of U.S. television and played Coach Calhoun in the hit musical Grease. He was also great in the movie Vegas Vacation. One of the best. One of the best. He was also known for his show Caesar's Hour and, of course, appearing in the classic television show Your Show of Shows, which was really a major influence later on other U.S. shows. Now, according to a new survey by the National Science Foundation, nearly half of all Americans say astrology, the study of celestial bodies, influence on human behavior and worldly events, is either very scientific or sort of scientific. By contrast, 92% of the Chinese public think that horoscopes are a bunch of hooey. Let's check in with the astrologer Mark Lerner. Mark, this is incredible that so many people think it's science. Maybe it is, huh?
Hi, George. Well, I was looking up science under Webster's today after learning about the National Science Foundation report. And Webster says that science is knowledge or study of the natural world based on facts learned through experiments and observation. I really feel that in 2,000 years of astrology work, the observational side is there. It's the question of experimentation. But we've had a lot of people in our field. There was a fellow, Michel Gauquelin in France, who did all these statistics. Carl Jung, who I've mentioned before, who is a medical doctor and a psychiatrist, did dozens of studies of married couples and their planetary energies. We had Jim Lewis, who did this amazing revolutionary work that we call astrocartography. And now we have all the software. So astrology is definitely moving in the scientific direction. There's no doubt about it.
Well, that's a good thing. Mark's website, of course, earthaquariusnews.com. He's one of the best out there. In a moment, I'll be talking with a high priestess of light and also a modern-day exorcist. Deborah King joins us in Tangled in Darkness, next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Deborah King, of course, New York Times best-selling modern-day exorcist, author, high priestess of the light. She was a successful attorney back in her 20s when she was diagnosed with cancer. And she started that quest that would radically change her life. Her remission, and it was an amazing remission, resulted from her clearing herself of negative energy that led her to leave the corporate arena for the mysterious world of entities, demons, ETs. And she mastered some ancient and modern systems as well. She's been featured regularly in the media, of course, and her latest work, Entangled in Darkness, which she shares some incredible tales of her own personal brushes with evil spirits. Let's bring Deborah King here on Coast to Coast. Hey, Deborah, good to talk to you after seeing you at the Conscious Life Expo.
Yeah, that was great, George. Very serendipitous.
That's a pretty good crowd out there, huh?
Yeah, it was excellent.
Now, tell me, how did an attorney end up being an exorcist and start writing about this?
Well, it's really a 180. I'll have to agree. I was young. I was still wet behind the ears, just out of law school. And the next thing I knew, I woke up with cancer, and I was really startled. I thought there might be some emotional causes, and I did, you know, a lot of self-analysis and got a therapist and decided to address. I'd had a lot of childhood abuse and lots of darkness from it. And I engaged in quite a search. And the next thing I knew, I'd had this amazing remission of the cancer. So I thought, what's this connection to darkness? You know, can it make us sick? What does it, where does it come from? How to ferret it out? How to be on the side of the light? So I've studied with priests and medicine men and shamans, you name it. I've tried it from nearly every continent and religion and culture. And, you know, George, they all recognize the existence and reality of evil in some form.
Well,
there's no doubt it exists.
Was it difficult for you to study evil after being, you know, so in the light, especially battling cancer? You had to remain positive. And then all of a sudden you're dealing with dark forces?
Yeah, it was a real conundrum. I really didn't know which way to go, but every time I turned around, I realized that where there's light, there's going to be dark. It's just the way it is. You know, it's the nature of human beings. We are both light and dark.
You're a believer that the possible ETs could be evil, aren't you?
Oh, I know they are. Let me tell you, there's really three different kinds of evil. There's ETs, those are extraterrestrials, and they're the lowest form of dark energy. You know, I don't find them really harmful. They're more like an annoyance. They look, and when you sense them, they look like little pieces of darkness, kind of like an amoeba, like a small blob of energy. They don't do a lot of damage, but they can cause itching and headaches and colds and arguments, you know, generally kind of low-level problems. Then there's entities. Now, entities are full-fledged, fully developed forms of evil that come from human beings. They're very formidable opponents. I'm super careful around them. I don't take them lightly at all. And I'll tell you how you can spot them. They have a really distinct odor.
Well, what do you mean, odor?
Well, it smells a little bit like rotting flesh. It's kind of putrid.
Ugh.
Oh, yeah, no, it's bad. It's bad. And then there's demons. Demons are, I think everybody knows what a demon is. It's a being of energy that has not had a human life.
It's almost like the zombie apocalypse.
Absolutely. And people in different cultures have different names for them. You know, if you go to the Old Testament, they'd call it Lucifer, you know, the fallen angels. But every culture, including our own with Rosemary's Baby, we all have this form of darkness. Now, here you have to be really, really cautious. You know, you got to get out the oven mitts and the fire extinguisher and exert a tremendous amount of care. You can get pretty hurt.
When you were going through all of this, Deborah, and you had these encounters, did you feel threatened? Was it dangerous for you?
Oh, it's enormously dangerous. And for years, I stayed way back, you know, as much as 30, 40 feet back from the action. And then I got braver and, you know, worked with a team. But I've had some brushes. I'll tell you one I had just a couple years ago that really, really startled me. I had just finished a big workshop. I was on the East Coast, and my team told me that a woman was flying in from a foreign country on her private jet. And I have to tell you, this kind of went to my head. I got a little bit self-important about the whole thing, and that's a terrible state of mind to be in for somebody who does the kind of work I do. I have to be really not in it for myself, only in it for that individual. I have to be really kind of detached. And here I was feeling a little bit proud about the whole deal. So that should have warned me right away. I wasn't in what they call alignment. So, you know, I wouldn't be very protected. And then the next thing I noticed was normally I wouldn't have worked at all because I was coming down with a cold. And there's no way you can be really strong
when you're ill.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, I was thinking about doing something pretty serious for this sick woman, and I wasn't in that great a shape. And then the third tip-off that I was way, way out of my comfort zone was it was late at night, and that's not a good time. At least for me, that's not a good time to tackle something tricky. And then this gal walked into this room where I was, and every hair on my body stood straight up, which is, to me, immediate sign that I'm dealing with very full-on possession. It was almost dark. There was just a tiny bit of light coming through the window, and there was a small lamp. And the first thing I noticed about this gal, she had the most disturbing eyes I've ever seen.
Really?
They were shining really bright in this half light, and I remember I gasped, and I thought, I wonder if I can jump through that little window, which I've done on a few occasions. I've actually run when it's been, you know, super tense.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. So I chickened out here. I decided that, oh, she'd flown a long way. I didn't want to be embarrassed. And I stayed. I shouldn't have. And she started to tell me about this eye surgery she had. It was quite grim. She said the surgeon had removed her eyeballs.
What?
And had dug larger holes, larger sockets in her skull and put her eyes back in.
No way. I've never heard of this. Stay with us, Deb. I got to ask you more about this. Well, with Deborah King, her book, Entangled in Darkness, it's about demons. I'm George Norrie, and we will be right back on Coast to Coast AM. Deborah King with us, her work, Entangled in Darkness. Deborah, okay, this story, this woman, you see her, and she says, her eyeballs were taken out by her doctor and he made bigger eye sockets?
Exactly. And that sort of put me off. I thought, well, perhaps I'm confused, you know, because normally I would tell my students, for example, when I teach them how to handle this sort of very dangerous energy, I tell them never look directly in their eyes, you know, avert your gaze, standoff angle. And so I kept looking in these women's eyes directly, which was not very smart of me. No. And then let me tell you the rest, George. It was wild because the next thing I did was I put her up on a massage table because she told me she had this problem with her feet. She was wearing a long skirt. I couldn't see her feet or her shoes. And she hops up there and I uncover her feet. I almost fainted.
Why? What'd you see?
She had cloven hooves.
No.
I'm serious. Each foot had a separation only between the big toe and the rest of the foot.
Oh,
it was
God.
The rest of the foot was a solid piece. Now, her excuse was that her feet were very swollen. But come on, we all know.
I mean, clearly, you could tell the difference between a human foot and cloven feet.
That's right. And I know what cloven feet mean. It's a complete and obvious sign of a very dark, very dark energy.
How uncomfortable did you feel when you saw that?
Very. And I tried to, you know, just close the session and get out of the room as fast as I could, but I didn't feel well. And by the next morning, I was at the local hospital and they said, you have some kind of rare bacteria. And I knew, you know, I had really taken something on.
So what became of the woman? Or should I say the demon?
Well, obviously, I didn't handle it. I'm sure she took it home with her. I got very, very infected by it. It took me about a month to recover.
You could have died.
That's right. And there are lots of my teachers and trainers that I've studied under over the years who are dead. They, you know, they took too much on. It's a fairly risky field. There are ways to protect yourself, though. There really are.
Do you think this person was pure evil?
I do. I think she had become completely possessed.
Hmm. So she was once human, she got possessed, and this demon literally started physically changing her.
And acting through her. She was still human, but she was more possessed by a demon than by her own soul. So her soul had been kind of pushed out of the way. And I'll tell you how you can tell. Demons have a different smell than entities. Entities smell corrupt and decaying, and demons smell like sulfur.
Huh.
Or smoke. You know, you get that kind of an odor.
And in terms of numbers, do we have more demons roaming this planet or entities?
I think I've seen about an equal number of each. But that's an interesting question. I've never thought about that before, but I seem to have stumbled on a couple of each. I'll tell you about a dragon I ran into recently. By the way, that that depossession, that exorcism I did, it's been videoed, and I posted it on my website so your listeners could swing in and pick it up and watch it.
And I've got to tell you, after meeting you, you're pretty darn serious about this stuff. This is not any game or nonsense.
Oh, no, I'm not joking. This is actually serious business.
All right, what about this dragon? What happened?
Well, I was teaching. Again, they always seem to hit you when you're low energy because they perceive a weakness. And
they know that, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was the last day of a very long workshop, and I was up on stage, and I heard this moaning down in the front row, and I looked down. And I almost ignored it because I saw what appeared to be a case of what I would call partial possession. Struck me as not demon energy, probably more likely entity. But the gal I knew, she was a gifted student of mine, and the closer I came, I finally went down the stairs. She started to throw her head around like in The Exorcist, and the people around her on both sides started to run out. So it was causing a lot of pandemonium in the theater, and she asked me to, you know, help her. So I did a pretty rapid, pretty successful, I would call it a depossession. I wouldn't call it an exorcism. I wouldn't give it that,
that label.
Yeah, it wasn't that complete. But I did call in every guide and resource I could get my hands on. And this was an ancient Chinese dragon energy. She was Chinese. She was very Americanized, very corporate, very educated and sophisticated. But somehow she had picked this up and wanted to be rid of it. And it was definitely getting in her way. So the way we get this stuff, we become vulnerable to it, is very interesting. We have holes in our own energy field that we create by not dealing with our own dark stuff, George, our own jealousy, our own resentments, our own addictions, you know, whatever pulls us down.
How do you keep fighting this dark energy that keeps bouncing against you?
It's not an everyday thing. It's not like I bump into it every day, but certainly more than once a month, because we're all composed of light and dark, every single one of us. And so if you work with people, as I do, you're going to bump into each. I'm sure you've seen that yourself.
Sure. I mean, yeah. But would you call yourself a magnet for demons and evil?
Great question. The dark is attracted to the light. And so I always assure my audiences that they're safe because they're startled. You know, they're worried that this thing's going to infect them. But darkness goes after what it perceives as the most light it can merge with. But in the process, it wants to take you out. So it's a little bit of a anomaly. It's kind of a catch-22. So it's trying to, you know, destroy you at the same time it's trying to merge with you.
Let's take a few calls while we continue talking with you, Deborah. This is fascinating.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Bruce is in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Bruce, go ahead.
Hey, George, Deborah, thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing, Bruce.
So I lived in an apartment that the people, at the time I didn't know it, but the people that lived there prior to me practiced Wicca. And you could tell what room they did it in. They had the walls painted with certain mushrooms and little entities all over the walls anyway. So I painted over this stuff. I put my computer in there and a lot of strange things. I mean, real, real strange, scary things were happening. But one day, the last day that I stayed in this place, I woke up and I saw an entity. It was about 8 foot tall, and it had, if you were to look through like heat vision glasses, goggles, that's what it looked like. It looked like heat vision. And it came at me. It disappeared before it actually got to me, but it felt like it went through me. You know, I packed my bags up and left that night. I wanted to see if you think that would be a possession, because I've had a lot of bad luck since this, like, or if this would be a demon or an entity, it would look like that.
What do you think that was, Deborah?
Bruce, here's what I'm discerning. To me, it feels like an entity. Feels like you got slimed by it, which is not the same as invaded. So it's not as severe. But I would love for you to clear yourself. I would suggest that you get some Epsom salts. Now, be really careful with this practice, because I almost burned my house down one time. So you have to be really careful. You take Epsom salts and you cover them with about an ounce or two of a high-proof alcohol, too high to drink, high enough to burn. You get the Epsom salts burning, and then you have someone help you. They run the Epsom salts in front of you, you know, 6 inches from your feet to the top of your head, and they do the back of your body. They do this for about 5 minutes. I think this would be very helpful to clear this. What I'm picking up feels like slime. And then I would also suggest you take a clearing bath. And a clearing bath is super easy. It's a pound of sea salt, a pound of baking soda. You mix the two. You hop in not too hot, or you'll kind of defeat the purpose and you'll deplete yourself. So, you know, just take a bath with a pound of sea salt and a pound of baking soda for about 20 minutes. I would do both those things.
What does that do? Why does that work?
Well, you know, it clears your field, George, the same way that if you jumped in the ocean.
All right, it's all about energy, isn't it?
It is. It is. Or if you go out in the sunlight for half an hour, you know, and get lots of sun on your body, you know how great you feel at the ocean or on the beach? That's because you're clearing your energy field of slime.
Are we having more of these demonic cases because of just what's been going on this planet over the last several years?
Absolutely. There's so much more dark energy now. It's a combination of things. There's too many people, so we're crowded.
And you bring that up next hour. We're going to be talking about how they want to reduce the population. In a negative way, by the way.
Oh, wow. So yeah, no, they're you know, we're crowded, we're stressed, we don't have enough fresh air or exercise. You know, we're living under artificial lights, we're on the freeways a lot. These are not the healthiest conditions. We don't get enough sleep. We may not be eating right. You know, we might, you know, fall prey to chemicals, you know, addictions, you know, all these things really set us up for dark energy.
Let's go to our first time caller, Scott in San Luis Obispo in California. Hey, Scott, thanks for calling. I'm glad you got in.
Yeah. Hello, George. Hello, Deborah. Hey, I was just talking about, you know, evil and black spirits. You know, there was a movie last year called Possession, and there was a Sci-Fi Channel did a paranormal witness on the Divot Box. And I think you've done a show on this before, George, but the weird stories about this particular box, it's a Jewish box. I don't know if you probably talked about it before, Deborah. Are you familiar with it?
I'm not. Tell me about it.
Well, I mean, it's a haunted box, and it was inherited by a Jewish family. I believe it was possessed by some type of witch, I believe in the 1940s, and the box was somehow inherited by somebody, and then I guess they found it in an attic. They decided to sell it, I think about 10 years ago on eBay, and some students were able to pick it up on eBay. And they had the box, and they had a bunch of weird events regarding it. And I mean, there's so much I can say about it, but I'm just telling you what I've seen on as far as paranormal witness and the movie Possession. And that box then sold on eBay again to a museum collector. And you know, they said it was haunted, and he picked it up, and he had said that the same events. I mean, there were a lot of things that they said about, you know, flies. Everybody in the house had red eyes. You know, lights would go out. I mean, I don't know if it really, really happened, but this, because they made a movie about it, and, you know, the paranormal witness events on the Sci-Fi Channel, I would think that it's possibly true. The box is stored, the owner now that has it, the museum collector, he actually decided to research it and went and digged up some history about it and was able to get a hold of the family that actually owned it many, many years ago. And they gave him the whole entire story about the box and told him never to open it.
Well, I would urge whoever's holding that box to be really careful. There's so many objects that can pick up energy. I think we all know this. I brought home, quite innocently, I brought home a great big crystal one time from South America. And my whole life took a bad turn. And started to have all kinds of problems with my home and strange noises. And I finally took the crystal and, you know, discarded it, threw it as far away as I could, and things went back to normal. So I'd be extremely careful with objects.
Well, I wonder why these entities attach themselves to these objects.
Well, because they're trying to attach to the person that's holding the object at that time. So entities, they're interested in living out their darkness. And so if you have a hole in your field that's created by some dark, they can merge with it, and they have the sensation that they're still living here, that they're still having a human life.
Let's go out to Rochester, New York. Keith is with us. Hi, Keith. Go ahead.
My question, why don't you learn to work with demonic spirits? Those of us that you might consider to be that way could really help you out. We could be your guardian angels so far as having extra knowledge of how the world really works. Work with us.
Keith, what do you mean work with us, Keith? Are you a demon or an entity?
Oh, I'm a human being, but I am from the dark side, and so far as exactly as you phrased it, then instead of being afraid and wrapping us in superstition, you should really learn to connect with us. I'm going to get your book, Miss King, and I might reach out to you, and you and I could converse sometime into the future. I'm going to get your book, Entanglements in Evil.
In Darkness.
Excellent. Yeah, no, I would love to work with you further.
How did, Keith, I've got to ask you, how did this all happen for you?
I think we're born this way. I have been analyzed, even by the FBI. I have been cut loose, but even though they have a file on me at Quantico, they don't bother me at all, but they know I'm out here, and President Obama was in Rochester in August. They did not contact me to see if I was a threat against the president. But some of us really are capable of things, but you can use this. The state of Florida put to death a child killer. Why? My final question, why is it evil to put to death the truly evil amongst us? The rest of you have a real problem with that. For me, that child killer in Florida would have been gone decades ago.
I agree with that. Now, what has been, though, for you, in your opinion, what's been the most evil thing you've done?
Probably having no conscience, but being able to do things that instead of going completely over the deep end and becoming what I could be, a psychopathic killer, keeping myself under wraps so that I would not do outright evil to people, but show them that thumbs up, thumbs down, there really is a way that how the world really works. And if you go against that grain, you will find yourself likely in trouble.
Do you have...
I wanted...
You got to get together with him, Deborah.
Well, yeah, and Keith, I want to tell you that you don't come across that way at all. I think you're being very hard on yourself. You actually have quite a sizable streak of decency there. I think you're a very good man that, you know, you're putting yourself down. I want to assure you, you weren't born evil.
Wait, good man, though, Deborah. He said he could be a psychopathic killer.
Well, all of us could be. He's just
no, not me. I've never thought of that. I mean, that's pure evil as far as I'm concerned, isn't it?
I think he's perhaps
reacting.
I think so. I think Keith has actually got a wonderful streak to him there.
You think he's play acting?
No, I think he's serious.
Okay.
But I think he's misreading his own soul.
Keith, appreciate your call. I only got about 30 seconds left, Deborah. People who want to get your book, Entangled in Darkness, which is a great read, by the way, put out by Hay House. It's available, I am sure, at Amazon.com. Bookstores pick it up yet?
Oh, yeah. No, it's in bookstores nationwide. And I want to tell your listeners, George, that if they swing over to DeborahKingCenter.com and click on the Coast to Coast, a welcome link, that they can see a couple of videos that show this work, show exorcisms and depossessions. It's pretty interesting to see.
It sure is. Okay, and we've got that link for you right there at CoastToCoastAM.com. Deborah, it was good seeing you at the Conscious Life Expo, and we'll get you on for some more time. This one went by fast.
Great to be with you. Thanks right. for having me.
That's Deborah King. She dabbles in the dark side. Entities, evil. Let me tell you. Up next, are they really trying to reduce the population by playing around with toxic food? Dr. Ted Brewer joins us next. His work, Breakthrough Health, on Coast to Coast AM.